From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in just 13 seconds, and really just 10. That's all it took for the greatest Buffalo playoff victory ever to turn into heartbreak. If you're a Bills fan, this is familiar, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, and it was especially painful last night because Buffalo had everything going in their favor. They were going to host the AFC Championship game against the inexperienced Bengals next week. Brady was out, Rodgers was gone, Mahomes would be gone. This was it, until it wasn't. But we can certainly say that the Bills' run has been exciting for the region. They'll be back, and soon enough, they'll probably be playing in a new palace. A few years ago, the NFL talked seriously about moving the Bills out of Buffalo. They want a new stadium, one with millions of dollars of new amenities, and the owners, the Pegulas, have said they want taxpayers to cover it. Could cost $1 billion. And now with the Bills fever at an all-time high, taxpayers might be more willing to say yes. They might even put a roof on the thing. Oakland-based journalist Rick Paulus has experience with this, watching sports teams come in and out of his city. He writes, quote, "Cities often give money to private pro sports franchises to entice them to come and then give them even more to stay. Pro sports teams are bad business deals for cities, and yet cities continue to fall for them. But municipalities can support local sports without selling out their citizens in the process," end quote. Paulus writes about how difficult it has been for taxpayers in Oakland to keep shelling out tens of millions only to see the Raiders move to Las Vegas, the Golden State Warriors go over to San Francisco. Nothing is guaranteed. But now, it's hard to imagine the Bills leaving. I think they're going nowhere. And the loss from last night still stings, but they should have a bright future as a team. And you got to think with the region. The question is, how do we get there? Let's talk about all of that and more this hour with our guest, Scott Pitoniak, a longtime journalist and author who's back with us. Hi, Scott. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Evan.
James Brown is our former WXXI colleague, a massive Bills fan, and now an audio producer for USA Today. JB, how are you doing, my friend? How are you hanging in there?
I'm okay.
Mental health check, man. Like, what's the how you feel? Like, do you woke up this morning and how did it feel?
Still kind of euphoric. It was really hard to sleep. Really, really hard to sleep. I maybe got 3 hours, and I was just both amazed and just dumbfounded by the result.
Yeah, I'm. Look, I mean, in the annals of heartbreak, that it's hard to imagine one that felt more certain going than flipping going the other way.
I can think of one. I can think of a couple.
Well, you know, the Bills were on the right end of that in a 41-38 playoff win a generation ago or more. But this is a tough one. And Scott, briefly, what's the first take that comes from you as someone who's covered this team for so long and seen so much?
This is one of the all-timers. There's no question about it in the list of misery. But wide right will always be number one from the Super Bowl 25 when Scott Norwood's kick sailed wide right, and of course it never should have come down to that. And, you know, and there was the home run throwback, the Music City Miracle, and it still was a home run throw forward. But, again, being the Bills, the call doesn't go with them. But I look at this, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to put a little positive spin on here. The Buffalo Bills have a bright future because they have number 17 at quarterback, Josh Allen. This guy is as good as there is. In the NFL, he is an unusual talent. And I think, this is such a quarterback driven league, more now so than ever because of all the rule changes to make the game safer and so forth. And this guy is just a sublime talent. So the future is still bright. As long as you have a quarterback, you've got a fighting chance. And let's not forget, the kid is 25 years old. He is only 25 years old. So he has such an upside to him. I think there's a lot to look forward to. I know that this is going to sting for a long, long time. And again, this is always going to be on that list of, misery that, Buffalo sports fans have endured through the decades. But I still think the future is bright as long as this guy is healthy and continuing to play as like he did last night. I mean, both those quarterbacks, if you like football, if you're a fan of football, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen put on arguably the most incredible quarterback performances I think I've ever seen. I mean, with both quarterbacks playing at such an extremely high level.
Well, we should say this, Scott. If you watched last night's game and you're not a football fan, do not be confused. That is not the norm. What we saw last night was extraordinary. And, you know, if you think, well, I'm a football fan now, and you watched every Sunday, I mean, you may see some football that's not as pretty as that. You know, Mahomes and Allen are such similar quarterbacks. They can throw from any arm angle. They've got big arms. Mahomes, how many times last night the play looked dead. The Bills actually defended pretty well, and that guy turned nothing into something, starting with the first series of the game for the Chiefs. So it was an amazing, amazing thing to watch. It was a tough, tough result. And before we kind of get into more of where we go next from here, I just want to briefly check in with someone who was right there on the sideline covering it last night, and that was Thad Brown, the sports director for WROC-TV. I caught up with him this morning just as he was getting on a plane from Kansas City. He was tired coming back here to Western New York, and this was our brief conversation with Thad Brown.
No problem, Evan. Thanks for having me on.
You told me earlier, and I would love for you to tell our listeners, the story of what you and Bills sideline reporter Sal Capaccio were talking about in the fourth quarter. What was going through both of your minds?
So right before overtime hits, and you know, everyone's just kind of floored by what we had just seen. You know, I had thought about this going into the game that, you know, this is two great offenses, you know, both are kind of dialed in, both playing really well. And I thought that it was possible we could get a really, really good game. And, you know, when you're in a game and you're just following, you know, all right, what's this particular situation? And you know, for me working on the field, I've got a camera. I'm trying to make sure I'm keeping track of where the ball is, just getting my shot. So I got to be aware, you know, if it's 3rd and 13, that's a pass. So I'm kind of leaning that way. You don't think about the bigger picture all the time. And going into this, I knew that if this was a great game, you know, this was going to be a game that people might talk about for a long time. And then to get what we got, where you had, you know, 3 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes, 4 lead changes. I go up to Sal and I say, Sal, you realize that this is the kind of game we're going to tell friends and family and grandkids forever that we were on the sideline for this game. I mean, this is going to be one of the all-time NFL playoff games, and we didn't watch it at home, everybody else. We were on the field, standing next to the players. And, you know, I know for Bills fans, and you know, I know Sal, you know, when he works with the team, obviously, you know, if they had won 2 more games, he gets to be on the sideline for a Super Bowl, which I'm sure would be a pretty big feather in his cap. It was disappointing the way it ended. But, you know, to be a part of that game, and for me personally to be on the field for it, it is an amazing, amazing memory for, you know, my career, feather in my cap, all that stuff.
Yeah, I will say, if this were the first deep, high expectation run for the Josh Allen Bills, it might feel different. And everyone is proud of the Bills, but this, everything was set up for them. They were going to play at home next week. Tom Brady is out. Aaron Rodgers is out. Everything was set up for them. And I wonder, after the game, have you ever seen emotion like that? You know, what was it like talking to players and personnel after that loss?
Well, unfortunately, all the interviews post game were on Zoom. The media room for the visiting team in Kansas City is so small. This is the first time all year that there was no one in person for any post game interview. So, you know, all of these impressions are kind of through the lens and the glass ceiling or the glass wall of Zoom. But, you know, Sean McDermott seemed as gutted and as emotional for a loss as I can ever remember. And you're right. I mean, this is a huge missed opportunity. I mean, not only were those two big quarterbacks out, but if the Bills won, they were going to get the relatively playoff inexperienced Bengals at home for the AFC Championship. And then, you know, just look where this team was at. I mean, they had seemingly fixed the run game. The offensive line was better. They were getting pressure with the front four. Ed Oliver even had a sack in that game last night. They were the healthiest team in the NFL. They, for a long time, have enjoyed this great continuity advantage because none of their coaches leave. Well, I think probably at least Brian Daboll and maybe Leslie Frazier, too, are going to be somewhere else next year. So it really doesn't ever look, or you don't get a better look than that. And for the Bills to miss it, as great as Josh Allen was, and, you know, as fantastic as a game as that was, it's very possible they are going to kick themselves for a long time to let this chance get away, because it is really hard to win a Super Bowl. You need bounces. You need breaks. And a lot of things had, like you said, were going the Bills' way. You know, it was all coming up Milhouse for the Bills, and they couldn't finish it off.
Mm. Well, now I'm wondering if this feeling, I mean, the galvanization of Bills fandom has been amazing. And, you know, my own bias on the table, I might have grown up a Browns fan, but it is so fun to be in Western New York when that team is rolling. People are excited. Everyone is sort of high-fiving. You know, it's all over the place, and it's tough right now. So, you know, I'm bummed. Everyone is sort of down. But this is a moment where the franchise is still at a crossroads. There's a debate about a stadium. There's a debate about who's going to finance it, exactly how that's going to work, what's the timeline going to be, is there going to be a roof on it, all of those things. Does this season, this playoff run, despite the disappointment, does this make it more likely that the Pegulas get what they want, that it cements the Bills' future, all of those things?
I don't think it really moves the needle either way. I think what you're talking about are very grandiose, multi-decade decisions that this franchise and this, you know, locality and state need to make, you know, about what they want to do going forward. I will say that the way Josh Allen played, certainly the last couple games, I mean, these two offensive games that Josh Allen put together, you know, the amazing back-to-back comeback touchdown drives in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs, and the four touchdowns and nearly 400 combined yards on the heels of a game where the Bills offense was perfect. Seven touchdowns on seven possessions. It's not going to hurt. You know, it's very clear that the next 5 or 10 or 15 years, the Bills are going to be blessed with maybe one of the top two quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, it's possible Patrick Mahomes might be considered the only guy better or, you know, than Josh Allen, or the only guy in Josh Allen's stratosphere for a long time going forward. So with that kind of hope and belief and optimism with a franchise, it certainly, to me, would, you know, push everyone a little closer to, okay, let's spend the money, let's get this done, let's do it right, and make sure we get to enjoy this, you know, over the next, you know, however many years Josh Allen's going to be here. And part of that career should be, you know, still catching a piece of Josh Allen's prime when the new stadium is constructed. So, you know, I don't know if you want to – people talk about you need a dome to take advantage of Josh Allen's full potential. I don't know if you want to play it that way, because you might only get – 2 or 3 years of that new stadium with Josh Allen, and then who knows what the next team looks like. But it is a factor that I think will be under consideration. And like I said, you know, the way the Bills played, even in a loss, it can only probably help.
Now, last question then. You know, they called Yankee Stadium the house that Ruth built. Maybe this will be the house that Josh built. and may he stay healthy forever. But it does sound to me like, you know, we go back 3-4 years then, we were having conversations about, you know, Roger Goodell sort of intimating that the Bills could be out of Western New York if things don't change here. It seems to me that something's going to get done. And I know there will be some listeners against this, some taxpayers against this. I'm not, you know, sort of a booster either way. I'm just observing the concern that somehow the Bills are going to leave town now. Nobody's talking about that, at least not that I'm hearing. Do you hear any of that anymore?
No. And I think from the very beginning of the stadium process, there's much debate about where to build, what kind of stadium to build, you know, certainly how much money to pour into it, who's paying for it and all that stuff. But I think the idea that the Bills might leave town is pretty much out the window right now. This is a franchise and really an ownership group that I think is committed to Western New York. They're happy to be here. And, you know, everything's going great. I mean, outside of not being able to win that last game, you know, the last 2 or 3 years of Buffalo Bills football has been a clinic in doing things right, you know, uplifting a fan base and, you know, rallying a city and a region, you know, behind your banner in a way that everybody enjoys. And as like you said, it's been fun the last 3 years to be a Bills fan and to be, you know, watching professional football in this region. So, you know, the idea that, yeah, I mean, the economics of stadiums, look, I've researched it a ton, part of the job. You know, there's a lot of questions about whether it's ever worth it to build a new stadium. But I think the emotional boost and just the morale situation when it comes to having a successful NFL franchise. I mean, it's the number one sport, the thing everybody watches. And when your team is front and center in it, it's a good feeling to be in that city and to be rooting for that team. So I think it's going to be full steam ahead in the stadium. It's just a matter of when and how much they're going to pay and what it's going to look like.
That's Thad Brown, sports director for WROC-TV, who was covering the game down on the sideline last night and is on an airplane right now flying back to Western New York from Kansas City. So so let's talk a little bit about some of those last points here. And listeners, we'll open it up to you as well. I am wondering if, you know, the casual fans who became more hyped fans in the last few weeks, has your mind at all changed when it comes to funding a stadium? Do you want taxpayers to cover it? Do you want the Pegulas to get whatever they want? Do you want to put a roof on that thing? Is there a limit to where you'll go with this? It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. And I'll even ask Scott Pitoniak if your views on taxpayers covering the bill for the Pegulas have changed at all, Scott.
Now, you know, I still have a problem with this. I struggle with this, you know, about, you know, multi-billionaires, you know, getting corporate welfare. I do struggle with that. Now, again, I'm the last person who ever wants to see the Bills leave. You know, I've been covering them since 85. I've spent a lot of my life, a lot of my career centered around covering this team and writing about this team and so forth. And I understand completely the impact that can't be measured easily on the collective psyche of this region.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I get how this is a galvanizing force, and something that, you know, in an age of polarization, we can gather behind it and, you know, and root for a common cause. That's unusual in today's society, unfortunately. You know, but the way I view this, Evan, is that, you know, Bills fans, and, you know, taxpayers and Bills fans in particular are going to be paying for this one way or another. And I say that because when you build this new stadium, I guarantee you there's going to be a dramatic increase in ticket prices. There's going to be a dramatic increase in concessions, parking, souvenirs, you name it. Everything, you're going to pay big time as Bills fans, and better get used to a huge jump. Just look what happened in I know it's the largest market in the country, but you know the prices of Yankee tickets at you know the new Yankee Stadium. So people are going to pay in you know for this. You know I think it's interesting. I don't think that this moved the needle. I agree with Thad on that necessarily. Like I mean it doesn't hurt that they're you know they're among the elite teams in the NFL right now. But I don't think this is a situation like it would have been much worse, Evan, if this had been, let's say you were right in the middle of the drought and you were drawing, you know, 30,000-40,000, you know, people to a game and so forth, paid customers and that sort of thing. I think then it would be more of an issue. I don't think it is an issue right now. This is a glory era for Buffalo Bills football right now, and it helps, but I don't think this what's happened just recently has moved the needle at all.
Okay. James Brown, are you comfortable with the idea that something new is coming? And as a fan, if you want to go to games, you're going to pay more. You're going to pay more to park. You can pay more for tickets. You can pay more for everything. But that is part of the price of admission to staying in the NFL. What do you think, James?
All of that would suck. but I think it's necessary if we're going to have a new stadium. I think it's something that will grin and bear it. I think what Scott's biggest point was there, I thought, that really, really hammered it home is the hit on the psyche of the region. I don't know that there is any other thing that unites Western New York like the Bills. I don't think there's anything close to it. And the idea of even the specter, even though I think it's remote, that the Bills would actually move, just the threat alone is a blow. So I think you'll adjust. And I think also I believe the capacity would be lower in most cases, most things I've read on this one. So fewer fans would be getting in per game as well.
James, are you of the view, though, that there's no way that something one way or another is getting done here? There's no way there's a scenario where a few years down the line and the Bills are playing in, well, I don't, what's the hot city that wants a team that doesn't have one now? Vegas finally got theirs. I don't know.
San Antonio.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Texas. Okay. Yep. I got you. Yeah.
Or St. Louis is a possibility as well.
Which had a team, of course. Okay. But James, you're not thinking that we're going to wake up one day and the Bills are gone now, right?
I don't think so. And I don't think so for a bunch of reasons. I think that, I feel a bit more comfortable with Holcomb instead of Cuomo for one. I think the likelihood of a deal under her makes a lot more sense. I think it would be more of a hit to her than it would be to Andrew Cuomo. Secondly, I think the Pegulas have a ton of business interests, including the Sabres. So I wouldn't want to be the owner of the Bills and Sabres that moves one of the teams. It has to deal with the fan base after they move the team. They'd have to move them both. I don't think that happens. And largely, I think this is just a matter of where and what and who pays for it, not a matter of if. So I don't think they're going anywhere.
Talking to James Brown, who is our former colleague here at WXXI, now an audio producer for USA Today, I should say. Scott Pitoniak, of course, a longtime journalist and author, and is authored some of the most compelling Bills coverage of anyone in Western New York. And we're talking about not only last night's heartbreak, but where this franchise goes next. And we'll welcome some of your feedback if you want to share it. Listeners, you can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Or you can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And even if you've got a weird... This is like the one day of the year that you can offer a weird sports take on Connections, and it's mildly acceptable because we've got two people on the line who will disabuse us of any silly notions about the finish to last night's heartbreaker. You can do that too. But I want to focus a little bit more on the question of a roof on a stadium here, because this is a big point that a lot of people are making for, and there's a number of different reasons people are talking about a roof. Number one, it's a lot more expensive. We're going to be talking about $1 billion plus for a stadium here, a roofed stadium in Buffalo or Orchard Park or wherever. Number two, the question is, does it become more of a venue that can be used year-round? In other words, it's not just about the Bills. It's about being able to play music shows and all kinds of events there 12 months out of the year instead of just however many games the Bills play and maybe a few high school contests and regional games. Is that a compelling idea? Well, I don't know. I don't know. We looked up here, and Emery Stein sent me some of the notes on just looking at Highmark Stadium, which is where the Bills play in Buffalo, versus the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. So far on their ticket schedule, Highmark Stadium has an August 10th outdoor concert with Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts. Big concert day. But that's it, August 10th. So I know U2 played there a few years ago. They do some big outdoor shows. It happens sometimes. And you look at the Carrier Dome schedule. Well, they're indoors, right? But Carrier Dome only has Elton John on September 10th. Everything else is sports-related. They've got a little bit more in the way of events because it's indoors and you've got basketball and other things. But it's not like they've got, you know, demonstrably different concert schedules and things like that. So I don't know what a roof brings in terms of making a venue immediately and obviously more than just a football venue, or at least something that's going to have dozens of events. Scott Pitoniak, is there a compelling economic reason that says, let's spend more, let's put the roof on it, and all of a sudden, magic, we get all these other events?
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, some of the events, Syracuse – really, I mean, recently, because of COVID, has not had a robust concert schedule in the Carrier Dome. But before that, they did. I think it's somewhere around 80 concerts they've hosted, you know, through the year. So it was a grand stop. The Rolling Stones loved playing there. U2 played there. My bride and I saw Paul McCartney there, you know, the fall before COVID hit. So it was robust.
Okay.
Also with the Carrier Dome, you had the opportunity there in Syracuse to be the host of the NCAA basketball tournament regionals, which is a big deal. We're talking about, you know, getting to the Final Four going through Syracuse. And that was a huge draw where they would have, you know, a total of four games or eight games, actually four games, I'm sorry, over the course of 3 days. And you would have crowds in excess of, you know, 30,000 for each of those games. So there are other things you could do. And I could definitely see, you know, if money were no object and you wanted some really big, like Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis or whatever, you could conceivably get yourself into a position at least to host an NCAA regional tournament. Buffalo has hosted some sub-regionals, but they're not a big enough venue to host. But you could have something like that. And who knows, if you had enough creative hotel space there, development going along with the stadium, you could, you know, conceivably host a Final Four NCAA basketball tournament, which again is a huge thing for you. So there's a lot of different things you could do. You'd have a lot more flexibility with a building that would have year-round use, as opposed to, as you mentioned, even, you know, I don't remember any big concert schedules when it was Rich Stadium or whatever. You had the Rolling Stones and you had this and that from time to time, but it wasn't like you're going to have, like, you know, 10 concerts there over the course of the summer or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it usually was one big one, you know, so you'd have a lot, you could do an awful lot more, you know, concerts, conventions is another huge thing, you know, that you could have as well. But as you mentioned at the outset, I mean, we're talking, like, right now the estimates are for just the stadium in Orchard Park, $1.4 billion. I mean, you're going to double that at least.
To put a roof on it?
Put a roof on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $2 billion plus if you want the roof. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the context that Scott is bringing up here, because if you just look at Carrier Dome versus Highmark this year, yeah, pandemic. But Scott's point is, yeah, there will be more events. There will definitely be more. You could at least see regional finals in the NCAA, if not possibility of a Final Four, that kind of a thing. So yeah, there's a lot more that you can do if you put a roof on the thing. I get that. And, you know, maybe fans will be a little more comfortable, a little more happy, but Bills Mafia always says they're hardy and they're happy to be outside. Before I grab Mike and Penfield on the phone, hang there for one more second. James, just as a fan, do you like, you know, this time of year games in the elements, or do you think that levels the field and that takes away the advantage of the better team?
I wouldn't say it takes away the advantage. I mean, it depends on how your team is built. I think that's been some of the arguments that some folks have made about Allen being able to max out in the elements. I think those arguments are bad, but that's the argument that they would make. I think the elements bring something fun, both in terms of being there and in terms of the television viewing watching a snow game or a rain game is fascinating. Watching a dome game, at least not as visually fascinating. So there's that. I mean, there's a lot of talk so far about perhaps putting a bit of an awning, of, for lack of a better word, over the fans around the stadium, kind of like they do in Miami.
Or like they do in English Premier League football, soccer, right? I mean, like the overhangs, yeah, from the rain. There you go.
Absolutely. And I think that's plausible. Also, it's cheaper. I think finding some ways to shave some of those dollars off of it makes the idea of a roof less likely. The other thing is, I don't think you build a roof in Orchard Park, and that jumps the price even from overall, just moving it into the city. I don't think even into another suburb. So, and also, I don't think the concert schedule would jump if you added a roof in Orchard Park either. I think you'd want to, or the convention schedule, so moving it into the city would, I think, be cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be the consensus so far. Let me grab Mike in Penfield on the phone. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Yes. What I would like to say is that I feel that socializing the cost of something like a stadium and then privatizing the profits from the stadium, which is the plan, is a bad idea for America in general, given the drift that America has moved into that direction where we socialize risks, so we privatize the profits. And there are so many reasons why I can give that this is a bad idea, but I'll give one specific example. The people who will actually be able to go to a game will be wealthy because the tickets are going to be $280, which will greatly enrich the owner of the Bills and many people who are involved in supplying the stadium and everything, and all of that will be privatized, the profits. But we are going to socialize the cost, and this is just a bad approach to societal health. And that's my comment.
I appreciate the call, Mike, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a series of emails on this subject. But keeping in mind Mike's point there, when the price of everything goes up, it is ostensibly to pay for the cost of new construction and a new stadium. But really, it's because everything is glitzier, they can get bigger prices, and they will make more money. And it's valuable to remember that the Pegulas don't care about you. I mean, I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying sports owners are inherently good or bad or anything. But they're not in this for charity. They're not in this as a charitable enterprise aimed at helping, you know, a region feel good about itself. It is a profitable venture, and they are business people. Earl in Irondequoit says, I'm not a football fan at all. The NFL lost me when the Baltimore Colts moved to Indianapolis. Yes, I'm that old. But Earl said, I did watch the entire game yesterday, and it was absolutely gripping. One reason I watched, aside from solidarity with friends who are big Bills fans, is that I'm a longtime Maple Leafs fan, and I understand perpetual disappointment. I don't support any professional sports team being subsidized by public funds. And basically goes on to say that this is just the wrong priority. If governments don't have the will to make tax structures fair and properly fund health care, universal basic income, and other absolutely critical needs, why should those who pay relatively more in an unfair tax structure fund the discretionary enterprises of billionaires? That is from Earl in Irondequoit. Barb in Wheatland says, I'm new to watching football. As soon as the Chiefs won the toss, I said, game over, and I'm new to watching football. Whoever won that coin toss had an advantage with the rules. It makes no sense to me. Barb, I'm with you. The only thing I'll tell you is they had all kinds of issues letting two of the best receivers in the league catch the ball with space in 13 seconds. That was the issue. The coin toss was a problem. Should never have got there. Michael says, they're not my team. You know, if the owners can pay Josh Allen $250 million, they can pay for their own stadium. But Joe writes to us to say, this is one of the rare cases where it is a good investment, and points out that his belief is that in many ways here, people are misunderstanding. He says it's talked a lot about how, but it's a misconception that taxpayers are on the hook for a ton of it, because there's a lot of it's about using bonds that only the government can do. That, you know, essentially, he goes on to say, it's leveraging the ability for the government to put out bonds that get paid back by the Bills. And he thinks it's a good investment, wants the Bills to stay, and says this is a good way to do it. So wide range of views here. And after we take our only break of the hour, we'll talk to James and Scott about some of those views. I mean, the baseline view is if the Pegulas can afford this, they should pay for it. Or if owners can afford this as a group, they should pool their resources and pay for new edifices as needed. But that's a bit of an idealistic and naive probable view. We'll talk about that and a lot more with Scott Pitoniak, James Brown, on The Morning After. Tough loss for your Buffalo Bills. It's next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, a conversation with Dr. Joel Shemaskin, who was diagnosed with ALS in 2016. He's been living with the disease and learning about his disease. He joins us next hour talking about how it has affected him, what he has learned, how he advocates for himself and others, and what he wants all of us to know about ALS. That's next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. If you are a recent or longtime Bills fan, yes, the host of this program is a Cleveland fan, but that just means I understand how you're feeling today. I also have a lot of family in Jamestown and Buffalo, Chautauqua, and I am aching for them today. This is a tough one. Really, really hard one. But we're trying to look ahead here and kind of predict where this takes this franchise in this region next. And for years, there was talk about the NFL saying to the Bills, that's it. We're pulling the plug. We'll take the franchise to Vegas. Well, now there is a team in Vegas already, and the Bills seem pretty well tied to staying here. But there will be a new stadium eventually, and it's a question of what happens in terms of who pays for it and what the value is. What the value is for this region. Jennifer writes to say, Evan and guests, numerous empirical and theoretical studies have looked extensively into the economics of public subsidies for stadiums and found there is no net benefit to the local economy in the long term. Number one, the amount of revenue and multiplier effect generated by an average stadium simply does not cover the cost to subsidize one. This has been empirically proven over and over. It is simple math, and the same goes for the cost of Olympic stadiums. Number two, stadiums sit empty most of the year, yet require use of public resources like road upkeep, sewers, police presence, lighting. These costs are not discussed. Number three, opportunity cost of spending that money on education or the like has a larger multiplier effect in the long run on the community. Number four, people who have no interest in sports still end up paying for fans to enjoy their team. And number five, you are subsidizing a $1 billion or $2 billion stadium in a private franchise and billionaire owners of such franchises. In other words, people's and organizations that can easily afford the cost of this stadium to begin with. That's from Jennifer. So let's start there, Scott Pitoniak. Is there a world, mm-hmm. you've covered sports for a long time, is there a world in which either the Pegulas come out and say, you know what, we can cover this bill, we're going to do it, or we've created, I can't even say without laughing, or the Pegulas say, hey, we're getting together with 30 other owners, and we're gonna create a fund. And every time a franchise needs a new stadium or upkeep, our funds will cover it because we make a lot of money owning football teams. Does that world exist, Scott?
No, it doesn't. And I must say that Jennifer raised all great points. I agree with her on so much of that. Again, we can get into the whole discussion. I've never made it into an economic argument that there was some multiplier, but I do think, again, there's something maybe harder to measure, and that is the collective psyche of a region. And the more things we have to offer people, not, you know, this was sports, but in the arts, entertainment, and so forth, I think it enhances our entire region. I think it makes us all better. But as far as like the Pegulas saying that, you know, yeah, they're going to pay. No, they're not. And they're not going to pay. I see the estimates. A lot of them say for a small market, a lot of studies that have been done that, you know, public funds are going to be like 73% of the bill, you know, and then the rest will be carried by ownership, but it won't be. It's going to be carried by the fans. There's going to be personal seat licenses, things such as that, and the raised ticket prices and everything else that goes along with it. So you're going to be paying. They're not going to be paying. So to speak. So I am an idealist. I have often, clamored for the fact that you have, I forget how, what, you know, is it $13, $14 billion a year industry in the NFL, which is going to be even more now with this incredibly affluent, lucrative television contract that they signed and so forth. But why can't there be a stadium reconstruction building and renovation fund? In a true world, like with an industry that big and you want it so badly, like to have certain specifications for your edifices, why can't you foot some of that bill? That's always boggled my mind, why they can't. Instead, it's we're going to hold you hostage. And if not, we're going to move to Austin, Texas, or some other place, you know. So, but yeah, it's not going to happen. And the first scenario of the Pegulas saying like, oh, we love Buffalo and we're going to, you know, we're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts. No, it's a business decision. I mean, I'm not saying that ownership doesn't become involved in a community or whatever, or has feelings for a community. They, you know, that I've seen that. And Ralph Wilson, the previous Bills owner, the gift he's given, you know, Detroit and Western New York in terms of his foundation is truly amazing, and caught us all by surprise. But yeah, those first two scenarios aren't going to happen.
Does that bother you, James Brown, as a Bills fan, but as someone who probably looks at the Pegulas and thinks, oh, you can probably put some of your own wealth down on the line here? Should there be some contribution from ownership?
I think there will be. Now, I don't think they're paying for the whole thing. I think that's a pipe dream. But I think there will be. And there is also a league stadium fund. They don't pay for it outright, usually. It is sort of as Scott was laying out, where the league does pool in some funds and some money could be accessed, but it wouldn't be enough for the entire whole. I think the Pegulas will probably pick up some of it. I think that this probably borrowing from that fund, but most of it will be taxpayer funded. I would bet somewhere 60-40. Now, as for that they could afford it, or do I feel bad that these billionaires would get the money? Sure. But we live in a society where billionaires have been subsidized all over this state, where state subsidies are given out left and right. I know that that massive tax breaks were given to the UBS Arena down in that just opened down in Long Island. I know that as was mentioned by one of the emailers, it was big bond deals that actually helped fund both Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. The state has done deals like this a lot. This is on a larger scale for sure. But if it's done a lot elsewhere, why not in Buffalo?
Well, so let's get some more feedback from listeners. And from San Diego, California, it's Greg. Hey, Greg, go ahead.
Good morning. yes, San Diego is the story of how not to plan to build a new stadium in your city. It began in 1997. They renovated the old Qualcomm Stadium, which no longer exists. And for 20 years, every question, it just went on forever and ever. It didn't help that the Spanos family did not have a really great rapport with the San Diego population. But yeah, that just the threat of them moving to L.A., you know, for 20 years. It took them 20 years, but they are now in L.A. San Diego still exists. You know, it's got only one major league. Well, I take it back. The Padres aren't really all that major league anymore.
Oh, they're very good. Come on.
they fell apart at the end of the last season. The first part was good. But everything that you just do this as a case study of how not to debate in the public square, where to get your money from. It was crazy. In fact, I just finally at one point, in terms of where to locate this new stadium, there was even a serious suggestion that it be built offshore on the Pacific Ocean. And that's
the next frontier is for sure a floating stadium in the ocean. That's what we need next here.
That is the
$5 billion. Yeah, there you go. And underwater tunnels to get there. I love that.
It actually sounds fun.
Somebody will propose it. Greg, thank you. Calling from San Diego.
Home one to the ocean.
California. By the way, as much Greg, I appreciate that, but there's a lot of baseball franchises that would love Fernando Tatis Jr., and I think you guys are in good, good shape for the long term there. But listen, the point that he's making is this is a community, San Diego, that has recently lost its team. Its team is now playing in L.A., where the L.A. Rams are looking like Super Bowl contenders, and the L.A. Chargers are routinely outnumbered by visiting fans. I mean, there's really not natural L.A. Chargers fans. It is a bizarre place for the San Diego Chargers to have ended up. It shows all of the venal side of sports ownership, if you ask me. That franchise makes no logical sense there. And there they are. They're the L.A. Chargers. They don't even have a fan base. And it's a very, very strange thing. But that doesn't mean that, well, they should have spent X on a stadium. I mean, I get Greg's point. They sort of dilly-dallied for so long, and ownership finally said, we're out of here. But I don't know what the proposed solutions were. So I don't know, Scott. That's not ipso facto doesn't say to me, this is the case study for doing it wrong. Just give them whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And they did have – there were some serious ownership issues there of mismanagement and so forth with the Spanos family. So it's a little bit more complicated situation, you know, than some of the others. You know, and James raised the point about 60-40, and from all the studies I've seen, including one by Andrew Zimbalist Jr., who is probably the foremost sports economist, he says for small markets such as Buffalo, it's probably going to be a 73% public funding issue here. And then we'll see, you know, I'm aware of the NFL has a stadium fund, so to speak, but it's really in terms of the amount of money that, you know, they would contribute to a situation such as this. I mean, they're much the NFL, you know, historically, and we saw this, you know, playing out with both LA teams moving there, is that they would much rather, you know, have somebody, some community throw a gobs of money and move a franchise. You know, they don't want like wholesale, like tons of franchise movements because that's not good for their business or whatever. But, you know, they've used that, you know, through the years, and it's certainly they wanted in the worst way to get back into the second largest market in America, and that would be L.A.
And by the way, James Brown, you've covered politics and covered politics very well. I think you know some of the dynamics there. And one listener, Edward, is wondering, you know, are we going to see Governor Kathy Hochul running for election, being from Buffalo, leveraging that and trying to get crossover Republican votes by saying, hey, if I'm elected, I will go to bat for state-funded stadium here. Is that going to become a political issue, James?
I absolutely think it will be. I absolutely think that she has one shot at one of her, you know, her huge biggest goals in her life, and I think she's going to throw everything at it. I absolutely think that I would be very surprised if not before the New York State budget is done, we don't hear of a deal.
Very interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. It could very well be political. D says, I've lived in Buffalo for 20 years. Football should not be the priority. Buffalo has so many needs: poverty, hunger, medical inequities, housing, infrastructure. Send the Bills to Boise. That's from D. They're definitely not going to Boise.
No.
But I do understand the point you're making about priority. I hear that. Steve in Rochester, go ahead, Steve.
Just a question about the Green Bay model. Could that work in Buffalo?
Yeah,
no.
everybody loves that. And just to the point that Steve's making, it's the notion of sort of municipal ownership and nobody having more than a minority share. I don't think so, Scott Pitoniak. No. We've talked about this. That's not going to happen here, right?
It's not going to happen. The NFL will not allow it to happen. The Packers were grandfathered in. In fact, the largest shareholders for the Packers, and I back in my Democrat and Chronicle days, we went out to Green Bay and did a story on this. Is like some little VFW post in this little town. I mean, you go to Green Bay and it's like going to Greece and there's an NFL team there. I mean, you know, 100,000 people or whatever. But they don't want that model. And they ruled that. They made sure, because I also looked into that as a possibility for Buffalo. you know, several years ago when this was still an issue, like where Ralph Wilson was still alive, what's going to happen with the Bills and ownership and would this work? And they don't want that. They want really deep-pocketed multi-billionaires as the owners of their franchises. And that's what this club is all about, you know, of the 32 owners. So that's grandfathered in. I would love to see it, but it's just not going to happen.
Now, Rita in Honeyway Falls clarifies on the idea of municipal bonds being, quote, paid back by the Bills. Not going to happen. Highly doubt that's the case. It'll be the taxpayers who pay with interest. James Brown, 30 seconds. Are you going to get over this one anytime soon?
Yes.
See? That's the right answer. It's just sports. It's all right.
Allen's performance, if this was on Allen, then I think I'd feel differently. But his performance gives me a lot of hope.
Absolutely, man. You're right. Your franchise quarterback didn't blow it, and you sit there going, I don't know if he can win the big one. Oh, he certainly can. That guy can and probably will win a lot in the years to come. So tough day, but I know, James, in the future we're going to be talking about what it's like to be at a parade for you. It's going to be fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hey, buddy, we miss you at WXXI. Thanks for being on the program.
No problem.
That is the great James Brown. And Scott Pitoniak, author, journalist, friend of the program. Always wonderful to get your perspective. Thank you, Scott Pitoniak.
Thanks, Evan. Always fun.
That man has covered some real heartbreak over the years, too. All right. More coming up on Connections in a moment.